Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is episode 33, and we're going to talk about the hydrological cycle, or in other words, the water cycle. We're going to look at four ways in which water runs off your property, and then ways to try to minimize that, because we want to keep as much water on the land as possible. Today when I was out working in the yard, I was noticing, even though we've had some rain, we've had some moisture, the ground is beginning to dry out, and made me start thinking about ways in which we can try to preserve the water that we have on the land. And of course, I'm always trying to do that, but made me think about some of these. And so I'm going to walk through some of those. Hopefully it'll be able to help you as well to keep the water on your land. You know, the Bible is very clear that water is absolutely essential for life. And God has granted us the water cycle as a means of abundance so that we might be able to use that as a way to maintain the water on the globe and still be able to use it for the benefit of man. So we're going to talk about that today. Before we do that, I want to direct you to some announcements and some updates. First of all, make sure that you're following us on the website itself. If you're downloading this through iTunes or some other means, then regularly check back to the website because there are show notes there as well as some additional information. Sometimes I'm bringing new updates to the website and changes there, so be aware of that. Also, I would encourage you to follow us on Facebook or Twitter. There's a place in the right-hand column where you can do that, and that would allow you to let other people know about the broadcast and help you to be able to help the community and help me out as well. Also, I would encourage you to subscribe to the updates, and you can do that on the right column where it says subscribe. This will allow you to get a automatic email every time there is a new post or a new change to the website. It also allows me to then let you know of any promotions or anything like that that might be coming up, and that would be beneficial. If you haven't signed up to be a member yet, go ahead and do that. That would allow you to make comments and that kind of thing. And I want you to consider also becoming a Legacy Partner. If you become a Legacy Partner, that allows you the premium membership site, which has a few extra items on there that might benefit you. There's a debt snowball database that you can use. There's also a database for gardeners that allows you to look at the various vegetables and plan how far apart you need to plant those, how many plants per person, some companion planting, best germination temperatures, things like that in that chart. And then also we have a 20% discount to VegGrow or Grow Veg, which is an online mapping program where you can map out your garden and plan it out so that you know where each plant is going to be, and then rotate those around each year so you don't have the same plants in the same place each year, that kind of thing. And it's a great tool online. Some of you probably are mapping it out on a piece of paper, and this would allow you to be able to do it online, print it out, and then have charts and graphs and those kinds of things. Pretty good program. And if you sign up through the Legacy Partner program, the premium membership, you can then get that for 20% discount. The premium membership is a $30 a year or $3 a month program. You can choose which way you want to do that. And that helps also support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. So I encourage you to do that. Also, I would appreciate feedback. You can give me feedback in a number of ways. You can give me feedback on each of the episodes, or you can give me feedback on the left-hand column. There is a place where you can contact me and you can put your feedback in there. You can also give me feedback directly at steve@thelegacypodcast.com, or of course you can give feedback under iTunes or one of the other programs that you are using to download this. And so that takes care of the updates and news for today. Now I want to talk with you about the water cycle, a hydrological cycle. And again, as I mentioned, this is God's means for providing abundance of water all across the globe as it moves from place to place. And really, all the hydrological cycle is the movement of water from one place to the other. Now, the reason we want to be able to be aware of it, not only just because it helps us understand God and the way in which He has worked through creation, but also it enables us to use the water cycle in a way where we can prevent some of the runoff on our land and keep the water on the land as much as possible. That really should be our goal. So what I want to do is I want to look at four ways in which water is lost on the property, and then ways to minimize some of that loss. So the first way is surface runoff. And by the way, I'm going to put in the show notes, there's going to be an image or a diagram of these various cycles and how they work with one another. And so you'll be able to see this in a picture form on the website. But the surface runoff is water that, when it hits the ground, immediately begins to flow downhill. And of course, all water flows downhill. That's the way the gravity works. And so it can flow downhill above water or above ground, or it can flow downhill underground. And both ways we're going to talk about. But this is surface runoff, where it hits and then runs off. You, of course, the most common idea of this is when you see it on the roads. And of course, the roads are impermeable, and so the water immediately runs off the roads and goes into a culvert or something like that alongside the road, and then from the culvert it goes into drains and into the rivers and that kind of thing. And so the runoffs. Now, this occurs also on your property as well, especially if you have any kind of slope on your property. Now, some of you may be living in the suburbs and you have, you know, these half-acre lots or something like that where there's very little slope because they were all leveled out to create the place. But if you live out in the country, you usually have some kind of slope to your land, and the water is going to run off that in a certain way. Now, if you think about the runoff that comes off of your roof, that will, of course, hit the ground, and then when it hits the ground, it will begin to start going downhill from there as well. Now, it can go, of course, downhill underground or downhill on top of ground. So what are some ways to prevent some of this surface runoff of the water? Well, one way is what's called swales. Now, really what swales are is they're basically a ditch on contour. Often there is a berm on the lower level of this contoured ditch. And these are most common along, they are usually best when there's three or four or five of them all the way down a hill kind of thing, and they are designed to slow down the water as it moves across the surface. Jeff Lawton, one of the permaculture experts, along with Bill Mollison, has used this to green the deserts. And if you search on YouTube under Greening the Desert, you can see examples of how he has used swales to green the desert by capturing the water that is there. And so really, swales are a ditch on contour. And what they do is they spread the water out. So if the water is moving downhill and then you have this ditch on contour, once it hits that ditch, it then spreads out because it follows the lowest part. And of course, the ditch is lower and the berm is beyond it. And so it's the higher part. And so it hits this ditch and then it works its way out along the edge of this ditch before it starts going back downhill again. So it slows down the water. If you have four or five, six of these all the way down your line, all the way down your land, then you're able to slow that water down, and it slowly works its way down the surface. So swales is one way to prevent some surface runoff. Another way is ponds. Of course, ponds are really a way of catching that water. Now, on our property, what I have is I have the rainwater coming off of the roof down a downspout from the gutter and goes into one of those black plastic drain pipes, and the black drain pipe then drains into a little pond that we have near one of our flower gardens. And that pond then drains through a ditch into our larger pond, which is really a kind of a dry pond. It's a good pond during the wintertime, but during the summertime, there's too much evaporation on it. It doesn't hold water. But that first pond does. I have a pond liner in there, and it's able to hold water. And that's from the runoff from the house roof. And so a little pond is able to store water. Now, the benefit of that, of course, is it's not getting benefit to the land so much as it is bringing in different kinds of biodiversity. And so you have frogs and you have different kind of insects. You have a place for birds to get water, and even our dog and cat drink from that pond. And so ponds are a way of slowing down that water as it moves off the land. And then also mulch is a good way of preventing surface runoff. And what it does is it acts like a sponge. As the water passes over it, it absorbs much of that water. So rather than the water running off and causing erosion, once it hits hay or once it hits the leaves or wood or whatever it is that you're using as a mulch, it then absorbs into those and prevents it from going down further. It keeps erosion down, as I mentioned as well, because if you have exposed soil and the water runs, that's where you have these gullies, and they then take away much of the topsoil and run that down into a creek bed or something like that, and you lose not only the topsoil, but you lose your water all at the same time. So mulch helps prevent that. Also, compost and improving the soil that you have on your property is another way of capturing that water, because it works similarly to a mulch in that the more humus content that you have in your soil, when the water hits that soil absorbs much of that water content, and humus is able to store a significantly more amount of water than other types of soil. And of course, clay is able to absorb a lot of soil. Sand is much more porous, and so it has the water leave it more quickly. And so the more that you can build up the humus content, especially in soils that are full of sand, then it will be better in maintaining the water onto your land. And also, having more vegetation would also slow down the process of surface runoff. And the way that works is that you have roots of the plant and the plants themselves that will be almost serving as a dam for the water as it moves downhill. They will catch some of that water, make it go down into the roots, and once it's down into the roots, those roots will store it. It will be contained within the actual root structure and the surface or the area around those roots, so that it is no longer on the surface, but the stem and the roots bring it down and keep it in the soil. So that's a way of slowing down the surface runoff as well. So that's surface runoff. Number two is infiltration and percolation. Now, infiltration is the process of the water hitting the ground and beginning to absorb into the soil. Now, we want infiltration over runoff. We would much prefer that the water hit the soil and stay in the soil and go underground than we would for it to run off on top of the ground and take all the topsoil and everything with it. And so we would prefer infiltration over surface runoff. And yet infiltration itself is a means of moving that water downhill. And so we want to be able to make sure that we slow that process down as well. Now, percolation goes along with infiltration, and that percolation is the process of the water actually working its way through the porous nature of the soil and into the eventually into the groundwater. And so percolation is the process of the water moving through the porous soil. And we want percolation, but we want to slow it down. And so what are some ways that we can do that? Well, number one, again, is swales. Slowing it down enough over time and over enough ground, you can actually begin to saturate the ground such that it results in so much water at a certain point that the water comes back to the surface and in the form of a spring or a lake or a pond or something like that. And so you can see diagrams of this actually on YouTube if you go to swales and how they actually increase the water structure on the soil and bring out that water as it hits an impermeable layer. It then springs back out to the water. And so the infiltration and percolation can be prevented in some respects by having a swale. Also, trees are a way of making the infiltration and the percolation slow down. The tree roots access the water, and as it moves through the ground, it's stored in the root systems and in the area around there. In fact, underneath a forest is an actual lake, and along with the topsoil that is there and the mulch that is there from the leaf litter and the root structures that are there, it holds so much water underneath a forest that there's actually, you know, a half a foot lake if you were to take out all the water around there. And that's the way in which the roots around trees and things like that are able to slow down the water and keep it so that it is able to be on your property longer. So plant more trees is the bottom line there. And if you can't plant trees, plant shrubs, plant other items that have a root mass that can slow down some of that water. But trees are the best. And then also the last thing would be under the infiltration and percolation would be a hugelkultur bed. Now, hugelkultur bed is basically, the term came primarily from Sepp Holzer in his farming practices, and yet when it has been Americanized, the idea has gone through various transformations to where it is today. But when most people, particularly in the permaculture realm, talk about hugelkultur, they're talking about wood that is buried. Now, sometimes that can be wood that is buried into a mound. Other times it's buried underneath. But the bottom line is that wood, when it's under the ground like that, is able to absorb and wick away a great deal of moisture. So when it rains like that, if the wood is not saturated completely, it will become saturated first, and that wood will absorb all that water. And then as it begins to dry out, the wood will also begin to dry out, but it will take some of the ground around it will take some of that water away. And so the roots from the various trees or the shrubs or the plants or whatever that is planted on this hugelkultur bed is able to access that water for a longer period of time. So it's a way of slowing down that. And again, the hugelkultur can basically be just one log on the ground and then, you know, a mound of compost and topsoil and stuff over that mound. Or you can bury the log and so that the surface level is the same as what the surface level is around the other areas. Either way, it works similarly in that the wood acts as a sponge to absorb the water. And so that's infiltration and percolation. The third way in which water leaves the property and some things that you can do to prevent it is evaporation. And probably the best thing that can be done to prevent evaporation on your property is to mulch. Barren soil that is exposed to the sun dries out very, very quickly and loses much of its moisture through evaporation on a very quick basis. And so if you can mulch, this helps prevent some of that evaporation. And what happens is that rather than the soil losing its moisture content, as the sun hits the various layers of mulch that you have down, it takes away the moisture in those layers of mulch, but it doesn't take away the soil from the ground. Now, eventually it will, because obviously the water moves about and one is absorbed if it's in dry area versus a area that's a little bit moist. But the bottom line is that mulch will help tremendously when it comes to making sure that evaporation is not a part of your property. Now, there is going to be some evaporation. That's just inevitable, but these are some ways to stop it. Trees are another way to prevent evaporation, and the way that they prevent evaporation for the most part is that they provide shade. Shade is a huge way, or the use of shade helps to prevent a lot of the evaporation on a farm or on a piece of property. And so what they do is they then any moisture that is beginning to leave the ground hits some of the canopy of this tree in the lower levels and has nowhere to go, and so it falls back down to the ground. So not only is it shaded, but it has the double duty of working like an umbrella in reverse. The water coming up from underneath then hits the umbrella of the canopy of the tree and then falls back to the soil, and this helps prevent some of the evaporation. And then along with that is other types of shade. So you can provide shade from a structure. You can provide shade from the tree, as I just mentioned. You can provide shade from a shade cloth or something like that hung over some wood or hung over your greenhouse or whatever it might be. You can provide some shade there. And, of course, that helps prevent evaporation because it's not directly exposed to the sun. The areas that are directly exposed to the sun, of course, are going to evaporate far faster than those areas that are not. And so the more you can shade the soil, the better you'll be in preventing the water from evaporating. And then in a similar way, although you might not consider this, is an actual greenhouse. Inside the greenhouse, there's a higher level of humidity than there is outside the greenhouse typically, because whatever humidity is found in the soil as it begins to evaporate from the heat of the sun, it hits the layer of plastic that is, you know, over the greenhouse, and then that causes it to fall back to the ground. There's been many occasions where I've gone out to my greenhouse, and of course, inside the greenhouse, on the underside of the plastic, it's just soaking wet. On the outside, of course, it's not wet at all, but on the inside, it's soaking wet because of the moisture content that was built up in there overnight as a result, or from the ground. And the foliage on the ground, as it expired, it went up into the greenhouse plastic and then came back down on the ground again. So this is a way of preventing some of the evaporation on the farm. And then the last one is transpiration. And of course, transpiration is the process of the vegetation, particularly the trees, as it grows and really, in a sense, it breathes. It releases some of the water into the atmosphere. And of course, that's why when you have a very high concentration of vegetation, such as a forest, there is a higher percentage of rain in those areas, because the rain itself comes in part from the transpiration of the trees of that forest. And so obviously, well, this tells us one thing in terms of how to get more rain, and that is to plant more trees, making sure that you have a lot of vegetation, because the vegetation is expiring much of this water that then becomes the rain that we so desperately desire. And so the tree itself works to prevent some of this transpiration when you have various levels of canopy. So for example, if you have a high tree canopy layer, and then underneath that you have a lower story tree layer, the lower story trees are going to expire some of their water, but that they're going to hit the upper canopy above it, and that upper canopy then is going to re-release that water back down again, and so it's going to be able to maintain some of that water within it. Now, if they were all of the same height of tree, you're not going to have that same effect. And so it's good to have the diversity of trees, the various levels, so that some of this can be worked out, so that the water in the air as it moves up is able to hit various barriers and fall back down. And so it is a way of slowing the transpiration process by having various different leveled canopy trees on your property. So anyway, those are the four areas in which water is lost on a piece of land, and then some ways in which you can help to prevent some of that loss. And hopefully this will be able to steer you in some directions. Maybe you can go out tomorrow, or while you're listening to this, even if you're listening to it at home with your iPad or iPod or iPhone, or whatever means you use to listen to this, you can go out, walk around your property, and look at ways that you can begin to protect the water that falls onto your property, so that it might be of most use to you, as God has provided you with an abundance of water to be used for that very purpose. So with that, this has been Steve Donahue of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? Just one life.